Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Insane in the Fembrain.
Fembrain.
Before we get into it, over on Insane in the Membrane this week, my guest is criminal psychiatrist Dr. Shoham Das. It's a fantastic listen. I really enjoy talking to him. He's a fascinating guy and doesn't sound like a stiff and starchy doctor. He just sounds like an everyday dude. I think you're going to really love it. So get yourselves over to Membrane as soon as you can. But back to business here on Insane in the Fembrain. I really have enjoyed doing Insane in the Fembrain. I've learned so much from all of our guests. It's been fantastic. Just every guest has been incredible. I hope you're doing all right out there. I know it's a strange old time. It's weird, isn't it? I have no answers. I wish I did. It's weird not being. I can't make many plans because the future changes, doesn't it? There's all new rules coming out with the COVID thing, and our friends up in the northeast now, they're going into lockdown again, and you kind of go, oh, is it going to happen down here again? And I don't know. Just do what you can. Wear your masks. Don't lick each other. You know, try and do your bit. Don't get all caught up in all the bullshit online and all that stuff. Try and do what works for you, you know? Just help each other out. That's all you can do. My guest this week is Tracy Cashy. Now, Tracy, I met at a gig a few months ago, before the lockdown. And she was... I was just struck by... You know, like when you meet someone for the first time and you're immediately struck, you just go, I really feel great in your company. It was like that. It was like an immediate kind of, whoa. I just felt like I'd known her for longer than I've only met her once, one night at a comedy gig. But I just felt like I feel I've known you longer than that. It was bizarre. And that only happens now and again. But then I got to talk to her and we followed each other online and things like that. And then I saw she was diagnosed a few years ago with terminal cancer. I don't know the exact name of it, but it's the hormone cancer, which I'd never heard before. I didn't know that it was even a thing. So she's having to deal with that. You know, she's got a family, she's got kids, and it was I just like, wow. How do you stay that positive and how do you be that kind of person when you've been dealt such a shitty deal, when you've been dealt such shitty cards? You know, she's a wonderful woman and you're like, how has this happened? How are you dealing with this, you know? And I just thought, I need to talk to this woman. I want to know where that positivity comes from. So I contacted her. I'm like, would you do me the honours? And she's absolutely, I'd love to. So yeah, she came on. And so you're here for yourself. She's a wonderful woman. It is tinged with sadness because when she talks about it, you know what the future holds, and it is sad, and it breaks my heart thinking about it now, even when I'm talking to you guys. It's not fucking fair, is it? You know, but she still gets out there. She still does things. She's doing comedy. That's how I met her. She was like, I'm just going to get out there and do stuff. So, you know what? I do this every time, don't I? I start waffling. I get lost in it all. Let's stop that. Let's get Tracy Cashy on. So, coming up in just a moment, Tracy Cashy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here we are. So how you been, Tracy? Are you all right?
Yeah, I don't really know how to answer that, but
be honest.
I feel like that's a big question, and I just feel like how have I been cannot be really answered with words. I feel like I need to record myself doing some kind of moody dance to some very depressing classical music, and I will forward that to you, and then that should answer your question.
We'll just put that up.
Sorry,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. I tell you what. Let's tell you this.
I saw that
picture of you when you were getting your treatment. You think you posted it a couple of months ago.
And my radiation mask.
Yeah. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about it because I didn't know that that's what happened. And it's been
there is
on
a lot
mind
you don't know.
Ages. No, exactly. So let's start
protect,
from the beginning.
To protect the innocent, there's a lot they don't tell you about life in general and cancer treatment for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Otherwise we'd all be clutching our crystals and thinking positively
of course we would.
Rather than actually having any treatment.
Yeah. Is it still ongoing?
Oh, blimey. It's ongoing and it's marching into Poland, also known as my liver.
Mate.
It's really, I'll kill the cancer in the end, you know, when I die, we'll both die, but it will be a very pyrrhic victory.
Yeah. Well, like Norm Macdonald said that. He goes, when they say, they lost they had a brave battle and they lost the battle. You didn't lose the battle, you won because you took it with you.
Exactly. That's brilliant. It's a fucking draw, and I'm taking you with me. And that's brilliant. I love that. Yeah.
Because we've only ever met once, so I don't know your story. I just know that when we met, I knew I wanted to talk to you more. It's one of those you get that now and again in life. You meet someone and you go, I want to spend some time in that person's company. It's a weird feeling that it comes along every now and again. Do you know what I mean?
It was, you did this blinding set. It was my first set that I had done.
That was your first one ever?
No. Acknowledging the fact that I was terminally ill.
Right.
And everything was new. Yeah. And I hadn't had that feeling for over a year where everything of the 10 minutes was new. Right. And I was on such a high because I think quite a lot of it worked when I wasn't sure any of it would work.
Oh, you smashed it,
and
mate.
Mate, thank you. It was such a good room. It was such a good room, and people laughed.
Yeah, it was.
And people were hugging each other. I remember hugging you. You're a very good hugger. People should know that. You're very good
you.
At hugging, and it's you know it just makes me feel you know really sad that. I mean, I don't know. I know you've been gigging again, but I just you know. Do you hug after your gigs now in COVID?
No, it's all there's
that
no
sucks
touching,
ass, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm big on the hugs. I like hugging.
I know what I mean.
It's just a nice thing. And now it's all kind of elbow bumps, the odd fist bump, but then we're all straight away washing our hands and
The odd fisting, know, and, yes.
Yeah. No. Which you should always wash your hands after a good fisting, mate.
Always.
Mm-hmm. If you take nothing else away from this podcast episode, always wash your hands.
Wash your hands after a damn good fisting, yes. Yeah.
So you were feeling, no, there was a feeling of euphoria that night.
There was fucking euphoria. Yeah. I'm sorry to swear, but it's like, it's
no,
so
no,
maddening,
swear away,
but
mate.
I felt this such a sense of momentum. And, you know, even though, so it was February or something, wasn't it? And I, you know, I'd had a few months to get my head round the diagnosis and the fact that I was incurable. And I felt this sense of euphoria and the sense of, right, I've got to visit this country and I've got to get that. And I need write that. And I need to blah, 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 blah. And I've got all these amazing books for my kids so that I could write in them, like, you know, all the, you know, pearls of wisdom to pass on before it's too late. I literally booked three holidays and a run at I was going to do Edinburgh, but then I was worried about getting ill, so I was going to do the Camden Fringe Festival.
Oh,
and
nice, yeah.
I put deposits down for theatres and I was go, go, go. And then, you know, the March, end of March, the rug gets pulled out from everyone. But I just felt such a sense of, are you serious? Are you really serious?
Yeah, I know.
And it all just went. And frankly, my sense of humour went as well. So I just didn't I could ever be funny about anything again because I just felt so disappointed.
Go on.
Well, I had to cancel everything eventually. Yeah. And I couldn't focus. I mean, this is what I admire about you and Jade. And you just, loads of my peers and comic friends, they've just cracked on. They've kept going. And I've been so jealous in a good way, you know, just really admiring. Because I just barely, you know, write down a thought when it occurred to me. Because I think it was just, you know, having two small kids. It's just like, I just barely get dressed in the morning. Certainly not able to deal with facial hair. And it's just, it's been a really bizarre few months for everyone, I'm sure.
Well, like you say, you just had that, you had that moment of like, fuck it. All right. I've got this energy now. I can get stuck into stuff. And then I think it was so surreal because I remember when everything just went, well, I got in about, say, in the space of like 20 minutes, they just went, nah, that it's all gone now. And you go, I've been doing this for 15 years and like now it's just not there anymore. And it was like, oh shit. And that was on. And so Jade and I are getting stuck into stuff. That was sort of born more out of fear. It was like, let's just keep going because otherwise we're good. Yeah, because you're kind of like, we've got to do something, otherwise we're going to kill each other, or we're gonna go mad. So we just
yeah, but you
just got stuck
Rich,
in.
I'm sorry, you had. I'm sorry, but you got locked in with a hairdresser, correct? Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't whinge at me, mate. You were locked in with no small kids and a hairdresser. You have no idea how I've butchered my hair with home fucking bleach jobs.
Oh, mate.
And
I know.
I have gone, like, it's bad. I got some bad hair. It's bad.
We got him in. We were like, look, don't be on your own. You're going to be on your own, right? You come and stay with us. And there was an element of, but he's a fucking good barber, and he's our barber. So let's get him in. We'll always look good.
People were stockpiling. Amazing.
Thanks, babes. People were stockpiling toilet roll and we stockpiled a barber.
You saw it.
We're in show business.
Yes.
We're in show
business,
mate.
I have a fucking chin cam while I'm putting on shitloads of weight at the same time. So all my Zoom moments are excruciating and, you know, it's... No, not ready at all. Bad hair, double chin.
We were lucky.
Hair on the double chin. Yeah.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Well, Jade's got, she gets really annoyed that nobody told her about women getting a beard as you get older.
Well, it's funny you should say that. My old school asked me to do a speech for the leavers who'd just not done their A-levels. And obviously it got cancelled and then cancelled again and cancelled. And I wrote, and the top of the speech is, you know, think back to 1986. There I was, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, with a monobrow and a moustache that any 15-year-old boy would be proud of. That was me as an 11-year-old.
Nice.
Jesus Christ.
Great big old, great magnum tash.
There's a nice visual for you.
Yeah, I can see it now. I can see it now. But that's it. Yeah, Jade's always gone.
I don't know what I was going to say. Something like Middle Eastern. It's the price you have for Middle Eastern. But Jade's not Middle Eastern.
Why is she getting all the hair?
Bristol.
Lucky. She's just lucky.
She's just lucky. Exactly.
It's an ongoing battle that no one tells you about. It no one says about that. They talk about your armpits and your legs and things like that, but they don't talk about your face. You know what I mean? It's just accepted that men will get it and that's fine, but then they don't talk about women's. It's a funny one, isn't it? We'll get there.
You know we've got a lot of political shit to wade through at the moment. I think women's facial equality can probably
weigh down. Yes. Yeah. Isn't it funny that we're still having to have these conversations, though, about equality on all levels? Do you really think so?
I think it's amazing that women aren't getting, you know, clubbed over the head and dragged into caves more, frankly, when you think about how recent history is so fucking appalling. I don't know if you watched Mrs. America.
No.
I've been watching loads of telly, obviously, because I have no life and I love TV. But it's the more you think about what's happened just in the last 50 years, I just think it's amazing. I think it's amazing when anyone's civilized or kind or, you know, any of that. I think it's amazing because, you know, people are pretty hideous underneath.
Yeah, people are horrible.
People are awful. Apart from you, darling, obviously.
Sometimes. Like, I've got a bit of a streak in me. But that's normally when I'm tired or I'm hungry. You know, the usual things.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
I've worked really hard on it. I do have a bit of a selfish streak. And it's not selfish. It's thoughtless. Sometimes I'll be doing something and then I'll go, actually, no, that's a bit shit. And I haven't, because I've just not thought about it, you know.
It's the human condition. We are self-centered, as in we think about ourselves all the time. I have all my life. and I think it's a bleeding miracle that I've managed A, to find a partner, and B, to keep him for 20 years when we are both regularly twats.
Spectacular
twats.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean
spectacular? No, 20 years. 20 years.
It's all spectacular. But yeah, I just think, you know, I tend to see the glass half full at the moment, for want of a better. That's an annoying thing to say, but I don't know. I'm just grateful for a lot of things right now, because it's all incredibly finite. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, mortality, and obviously we're all going to go. But at the same time, you know, when people say, you know, you could get run over by a bus, they love to use that. And I agree with them. However, the thing with living with cancer, especially incurable cancer, is that it's not the same, because if it was, the bus that would run over you and kill you would be following you around for months, would be watching TV with you, would be honking really loudly at night while you're trying to get to sleep. And that's the element that people don't get. It's the fact that it's very hard to focus on anything else. Yeah. You know, at least if it's sudden, it's sudden, and you don't have any of that.
Yes.
Poignancy or soul searching.
You're not making friends with it first. You're like taking it around. I've never heard that before.
That's because I just made it up.
Yeah, well, that sounds. I've never heard it put that way. That's so. I don't think I've heard. That's the thing. I've never really spoken to someone that has a terminal illness before. Not in this way. Do you know, I know people that have been ill.
Well, I tell you what. Get used to it, because we're a small community, but we're living longer, because not necessarily better, because the drugs are, you know, they are beasts to live with, but they are making us live longer. And in my case, you just can't shut me up about it, because I've just turned into one of those people that just wants to be honest. It's tricky because my kids are young. So it's like being honest about your mummy's sick, but, you know, nothing about, you know, mummy's going anywhere anytime soon. But so we have to be very careful about that. But I was on
But at
the same time, I wanted to make friends with the word incurable. I was going to be interviewed. I was interviewed on Sky News earlier in the year about, you know, the ridiculous combo of cancer and comedy. And my 10-year-old, she made me a T-shirt and she drew incurable on it. And it was just beautiful. Yeah. And I don't know if it, I actually still don't know if it actually went in what that means. We talked about it, but
yeah,
she's sort of,
she knows
something's going on, but she doesn't. I mean, remember back to when you were 9 and 10. I mean, how much of the world did you actually,
it's such a narrow
perspective, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think I still wouldn't have been able to comprehend what incurable meant and what it would mean that, mum was going somewhere at some point before
she
should.
I think the way I sold it to her or spun it was that, you know, mummy's got cancer that she's going to have to live with and going to have to fight for the rest of her life. Nothing about how long that life would be, because that would just freak her out. But the fact that I'm living with it now and it's just going to be a continuous fight and mummy's going to be sick and some days are going to be better than others.
It must be exhausting to constantly have that going on.
It is. It really is. It's just kids, you know, always a tough one. Cancer, always a tough one.
Yeah.
COVID, tough one for everyone. All of that, you know, really hard. And, you know, that's why I knew I couldn't try and be funny. I just have to see what happens, see what comes. So I've been, you know, I'm still, you know, by nature, it's a reflex, isn't it? You couldn't try. If someone told you not to be funny for a whole day, you'd freak out, right? Surely you've got that.
If I sit with Jade for a bit. Jade tells me that sometimes. Can you pack it in for a minute?
No, because if there's an open goal, you're going to hit. You're going to kick it, aren't you?
Every time. I can't help it.
Because, no. So it's a reflex. And, you know, thank God mine is coming back, but maybe in a slightly different way. So I don't feel the urge to, like, stand up and go through all that malarkey. Not when it's all, I don't know. I fell in love with the packed room, the packed laughter and the camaraderie afterwards. But also I'm in a different physical stage where schlepping around London and beyond is a bit too much for me now. So in a way, doing podcasts and things like that has been really good for that. But I like writing now. I think writing is where I can carry on trying to be creative and honest. So that's where
I'm at. That's where some of the best comedy comes from, the truth, though, the honesty. If you can, do you know what I mean? If you can find, because you're being honest in it, I think, and more people need to hear the honesty about these things. We're all scared to ask questions about it and we don't know as much as we... That's why I do the podcast, to find out more, you know, because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anybody that's had a terminal illness and what they go through and how they deal with it. It's things like that keep me awake at night. I'm like, how do you deal with that? When you got told that news, what went through your head? How did you cope with it? I don't know these things, so...
It was different. You know. Well, when I first got cancer, the way I reacted was to spend so much money in shops buying such weird stuff. Everything,
oh, really?
Because it was breast cancer, everything I bought was like round and looked like tits. Seriously, I'm not joking. The amount of money I spent on breast-related paraphernalia, I had a weird reaction to that one. And the second time round was pretty similar, actually. I spent shitloads of money in shops. It's a shock. I mean, I think it's a shock like any other shock. We've all been through a life shock, like losing someone or something going seriously wrong. You know, my oven broke today. I had a pretty similar reaction of devastation to the fact that I'm going to have to fucking buy another bloody oven. to the fact that I've got cancer all over myself. So it's, you know, someone once said, I think it was a Holocaust survivor, it said that suffering expands to fill the space that it's given. Like it acts like a gas. You know how gas in a vacuum fills the space? And it's, I think it's the same with human suffering. The only difference is with me at the moment, you know, there's some parallels between how scared everyone is and how scared I've been for the last 3 years having cancer. You know, I had to make everyone wash their hands when I was having chemo. I had that similar level of paranoia, and now everyone's paranoid and everyone's, you know, thinking what is the future going to hold? And they're just like, right, welcome. You're tuning into my station, everyone. Welcome to how it feels to be. So, you know, actually what it's like. We've all had weird dress rehearsals for the ultimate bad news. But at the same time, I don't know. Is it the ultimate bad news? I'm 45. I've lived a brilliant life, and I've had so much fun. Yes, you know, I've had terrible things happen. I've had mental illness in the family. I've had miscarriages. I've had awful things. But I've also met someone that I could stand, that loves me. I've had two beautiful children who, you know, will grow up hopefully in a battered and bruised world, but you know, they'll get a kick out of life, and they'll have good memories of me, because obviously I'm an amazing mother all the time. I never shout at them.
And now of course not.
Never. So I've kind of made my peace with that. The only thing I have not made my peace with is that sense of, you know, being vulnerable and being dependent on the kindness of strangers. And okay, I'm trying to put it nicely, but getting to the who's going to wipe my bum stage, that I don't like the idea of that deterioration, that disability.
And you know that's going to come. That must that must be tricky.
It's really hard, and and it's no matter how much I think I'm prepared for that, and no matter how much I trust my doctors and my nurses, and you know, it's hard. You know, I basically want to be off my tits and go as soon as possible when I get to that stage, but I don't really have that much control over these things. But at the same time, I'm reassured that, you know, they're not, you know, I'm not the only one that it's happened to, and they know what they're doing. They have to. And okay, maybe not with people as young as me all the time, but they do know how to handle these things.
Yeah.
Well, that's reassuring. Has that cheered you up?
I think so. It's a weird. I think. Yeah. I think, like you say, with this whole thing that's gone on now, there was, like, Jade and I have spoken about this loads of times. There's a weird kind of. You get a kind of set of, a sort of quantum of solace from knowing that it's happening to everybody. I think if it was just you, you'd kind of, it'd be more difficult, but everyone's sort of in it together. And then talking about when you get older as well, and there's that inevitable, like my nan's in a home now and she's 91 and she's being looked after, and then, and you're like, Christ, that's going to be me one day. You know,
but if you're lucky,
if you're lucky.
It depends how you see old age. I don't know. I mean, some people can't bear the thought of it.
Well, there's that, a lot of people talk, go on.
But then again, when you've got kids, you know, you see it as old age as a privilege. You know,
yeah, true. Yeah,
being there
being
there for them as much as possible. So it's a paradox. There's a lot of truth to hold in that reality. You know, I'm lucky in some ways and not in others.
See, it's all about, you just have this such a positive spin on everything.
No, I don't. I don't want to be selling that, you know, I am Mrs. Just think positively and everything will be fine. And you can beat cancer with your thoughts and a couple of crystals. I don't want to sell that, because I think, I'll tell you what, this is the difference. I don't want to be negative, which may come across as positive, but actually I'm being realistic. Part of my comedy was dealing with the anger towards people who, insist on a positive spin on, you know, any difficult life event. You know, you just got to think positively and you've got this. And, you know, that sort of, it's a reduction and it's an invalidation of reality. And reality is that living with cancer and dying from cancer is really, really hard. But at the same time, I don't want to sink into negativity. So what does that make me? That makes me a realist, I think. So that doesn't make me positive. I'm not positive. I'm quite realistic about the my chances of being alive, let's say, in 2 years from now. I feel quite realistic about that. But I'm alive today.
Yeah.
And I've got things that I can enjoy and appreciate today. And I don't know what the future will be like. Nobody does. But that doesn't mean I get to ignore the truth. And it doesn't mean I have power over the things I don't have any power over. That's the difference. That's the difference between just being, you know, what I would like to be, which is like an authentic grown-up person, not someone who's going to give money to charlatans and hope that I can trick reality into being my bitch, you know? Because I know, I know I'm reality's bitch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. yeah, I do. Like, did that? It's that. It's. Yeah. See, like I say, this is new to me. This whole scenario. It's because I do worry too much about the future, and I shouldn't. I'm always worried about what it'd be like when I'm old, or what it'd be like this, or whatever. And I shouldn't. I should be more about enjoying this time now. Like you say, this is good now. So
it's good.
Focus on that. Why are you worrying about the future?
If you want to, but I can almost guarantee that the things you're worried about won't happen. You'll be worrying about the wrong things.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, you can't predict it, can you? You just don't know. So
I think
why
you can
bother?
Predict. I think you can predict that the things you're going to worry, things you worried. Think about it. What have you worried about all your life? Has any of it actually happened? Really?
No.
the shit that's gone down.
No, not really.
Shit that's gone down.
I didn't
down
expect any of it.
No, you see? There you go.
That's true, actually. I do worry. I do. And I have to tell myself out loud, physically out loud, I go, will you pack it in? Pack it in. You're all right. Will you pack it in? And I don't know why.
Oh, God. It's natural. It's how we evolved. We've got this stupid multi-layered brain that makes us think we're dealing with dinosaurs. Not dinosaurs. Saber-toothed tigers.
Things like that. Yeah.
You know, and that's, we have to think, we have to hold the past, the present, the future all at the same time. But I think if you just gently correct yourself when you're going into a rabbit hole of bullshit, which it probably is.
Yeah.
And just, you know, think of your mate Tracy, who's telling you that it probably won't happen. Odds are.
That's true, actually. It's funny, what I talk about, like Jane, like, we call it spiralling. Like you'll be sat there and all of a sudden and you're just going and you just got all in and what about that? But then that'll happen. And then this. And then what about that? Yeah. And you have to sort of like, we're almost like, we don't slap each other, but you're kind of like on a subconscious level going, wait, snap out of it. Snap out of it. You know what you're doing.
Yeah. And in a way, I think that's good. I think you do have to, but I think more gently snap out of it rather than gently. This is what I did. I was spiraling so badly when I got the diagnosis. I just had to find, it's like a dog. It's like puppy training. It's like constantly recorrecting, constantly redirecting. This way. Gently, but all the bloody time. And then it did get better. It did get better.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you find, because your partner as well, you know, you've been together 20 years, so, you know, you're in this together. And then now and again, he'll have a day where he can't handle it. And,
oh, my God.
And then do you find, and then you have to sort of dig deep and lift him up a bit? And
yeah, you must have found this. We're all different, but I think maybe when your partner is just got a different way of handling life, you know, like I'm quite an extrovert. Yeah. I get a lot of energy from like talking to people and being with people. And he bloody doesn't. He likes to cave up.
Right.
And I spoke to I spoke to my palliative doctor about this, and she said, you know, does he want any support? Da, 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 da. I said he'd rather stick needles in his eyes than tell anybody how he's actually feeling. But she said, you know, when the time is, she kind of said, you know, it's often that men, when the partner's actually gone, when I do bugger off, that's when he'll probably need the support. Mm. So I think there has to be an acceptance on how each person deals with shit, you know? So yeah. My way is to like scattergun, like I've got a therapist, I've got a psychiatrist, I've got loads of friends. I just go, blah, 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 you know, most of the time, not all the time, you know, if someone's going to like spin me some shit about, you'll just think positively and eat turmeric and you can beat this. Then I'll, you know, smile politely, but I probably won't seek them out for conversation. Whereas I will try and do everything I can to connect with people and to feel better. Whereas he feels better if he's left alone for a bit.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. I'm like that sometimes. I'm just like, just give me a minute. I need to just go and sit for a bit and then I'll figure it out. I don't need you barking in my ear hole about this. Just, you know, I'll get, yeah.
Yeah, we've learned how to argue over the years. You know, before, you know, I was in his face and he was, you know, get out of my face. And, you know, all of that. It's all about like letting the other person be who they are and trusting that if they have, you know, a diva fit, they'll, you know, slam something, go for a walk and come back and be a human being again. It's just trusting the process.
Oh, yeah. I've learned how to apologise or to at least look, because whereas before I'd be like, it's all Jade's fault. It's all Jade's fault. That's why we're falling out. And then it's not till now. And now it's like the other day we had a bit of a barney over lunch and then I went back to work and then I kind of went away and I went, oh, that was actually me. That was me. That was all me. And then I messaged Jade and went, that was me. I worded it all wrong, what I was trying to say. I'm really sorry. Because Jade once said to me, she said, do you want this, that saying, you know, do you want this to work or do you want this, or do you want to be right? And it was it really struck me, that phrase. I'm like, oh yeah, that's
a great phrase. The other thing I do is if you're pointing the finger at someone, remember that you've got three more pointing back at you.
Oh yeah. I'd got to, you know what it was? I'd got through, I used to be a bit of a prick and I'd fucked up. I've said this loads on here. And I fucked up, like, every relationship I've ever been in, I fucked it up. And then I had counselling. So then I came out of counselling and now I'm fucking Jesus. I'm wandering around like, I've got all the answers, mate. I've got the answers. I can't possibly be wrong in this argument because I've sussed it all out.
until you are wrong again. You have to go, oh, shucks, I am human, not Jesus.
That's it. Yeah. And I get a kick out of going, and it made me feel good that I, the other day, and I went, yeah, that was me. And I'm sorry. And we are now getting to a better understanding. Yeah, it's nice.
It does. I think owning your side of the street, owning your shit does feel good. Trying to be right how I was for years is absolutely exhausting and alienating and counterproductive.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are very lucky that we're so involved, aren't they? The people in our lives.
They're so lucky. They're so lucky to have us.
They're so fucking lucky. They are.
As Jade says to me all the time.
Yeah.
I was described the other day as Mr. Jade Adams. Yes. That made your day, didn't it, mate? That made Jade's day.
It doesn't. I don't need that.
No?
I don't actually need that.
What do you need, babe?
I don't need to be the one that's in charge. I just want what's fair.
Okay.
I don't, as you tell, like the other day when you apologised, I didn't hang on to it at all.
No.
I let it go.
There you go.
I didn't hang on to it and go, oh yeah, I was right. I just was like really just chuffed that you'd realised it was your fault and that was all I wanted.
Yeah, true. There you go.
That's right.
That is right. There you go.
Free couples counselling on this podcast.
Well, when we went to couples counselling, because we've been doing it, I can't speak for Jade, but I know I was there going, right, I've got all this stuff I'm going to say. I know I'm going to tell her this, I'm going to tell her that, and blah, 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 blah. And then when you get in there and the counsellor turned around and she said, right, Rich, why is Jade here? I went, ah, oh, you bastard. Ah, that's not what I expected at all. And it really took the wind out of my sails. It fucked me.
And yeah. That's interesting because I've never done couples counselling, and I always like, I don't know, maybe it's an impression I've got from movies or something, but I always think they ask you, so what do you love about each other? Or how did you meet? What first attracted you to try and get you in the frame of mind of like, you know, actually I do quite like you. And there was a time when you didn't really annoy me all the bloody time.
Yeah.
So that's you had a clever one.
We're there. She's really clever. She really does put it out there. And because it's been, I sat there and I went, look, this isn't me. I'm not sitting here going, I'm not taking the shit for this. And then she'll say, Rich, it's definitely both of you. Okay. Ah, oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh God.
It's really good.
It always is.
Yeah. Even when you don't realise it.
I literally think it's too late for us. We're on a nice even keel. You know, we are.
Yeah, if it's working, then don't fiddle with it.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Like we need another appointment to try and keep in the week. Forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. You've got enough going on. We're trying to fix this as well.
It's a full-time job. I've got like three full-time jobs, you know, cancer patient, mum, and, you know, obviously hilarious podcast guest.
Of course.
That is a very full-time
That's
job.
That's top like of the
at
list.
Least
top
1 hour a month. Sorry, I didn't hear that. What did you say?
This is the thing when it's doing this remotely as well. There's going to be bits where I'm like, we'll go, yeah, go on. Yeah, no, after you. It's like this on all of them.
It is. It's really clumsy. Yeah. It's really clumsy when you can't see the other. But even, do you think it would be, yeah, I don't know. Terry Wogan used to make it look really easy, didn't he?
He did. There is an element of it being, if you can at least see the person, it's better because you can see because there are signs that the person's going to talk. So you're like, oh yeah.
Verbal,
yeah.
Yes.
So then, but as we're doing it just by voices alone, and there's a delay as well, there's a slight delay. So yeah, so there's a bit, we'll both go to say, so hey, do you know what? We're figuring it out. It's, yeah, this is the future. It was not like,
you're just trying to make, I'm just crap and you're just trying to make me.
No, mate, you're smashing it. What are you talking about? I'm going, I should be better at this. I've been doing it a while now. I'm the one that feels like I'm letting you down.
Shut up. You're amazing.
Oh, babe.
You're fulfilling me in ways that no one else ever could.
That's wonderful. Thank you. That's going to be my ringtone now. Great. Just, whenever I'm feeling down,
that's like a really weird I don't know, I'm not used to talking this much in this sort of way, so I just feel like every other phrase is just slightly off. It perhaps just weird or sexual or like inappropriate. I don't trust myself.
Everybody's the same because we used to be more sociable. And now we're not so much, we can't even be sort of near each other. So even when we are in the same room, we're still away from each other. There's no, and I think we are all more because we've got more in our minds as well. We're more like, oh, I better not touch him. Oh, I better not do that. Oh, God. There's so much.
It's intense. Yeah. It is intense. Everything's intense. Everything's awkward.
Well, that was an appropriate time for it to cut off.
Oh, no.
I think she'll be back in a sec.
All right. Hopefully she's noticed.
Recording has started. Okay.
Yay,
I'm so sorry. It's all my fault. Mate, I mentioned Boris Johnson and it crashed the system.
That's a lesson.
never let Boris Johnson crash your podcast in any way. I've learnt my lesson. There's so much to say about that. Can we handle cancer, comedy and politics in one podcast?
Well, do you know what? Why not? It's just the not knowing, isn't it? It's just the not knowing. That's the thing. I mean, I know they don't know what's going on, but it's the, I don't know.
Embracing uncertainty is the biggest ask of anyone ever. And that's...
Absolutely.
I totally feel that in my bones. But that is... And that's why it's so much easier to stay in today and just say, right, for today, I've got to wear my mask in order to get this bollocks from this shop in order to blah blah blah. I'm gonna grab, you know, a bit of almost normal. I did sit in a cafe and I did people watch for about 20 minutes a day and it was amazing. And
oh,
I thought,
nice.
While I can, I'm bloody gonna do it. And it was so good. So
I love doing that. I love just,
isn't it great?
Yeah.
You could be anywhere. You don't need to go on holiday to just stay still, watch the world go by and just, yeah, just breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels weird because on the one hand, it feels like people are coming together. So like with the Black Lives Matter thing and Pride and things like that. And so like loads of us have risen up and gone, we're not fucking having this anymore. But then there's also more division at the same time. And do you know what I mean? So it's a weird mixture of coming together, fighting.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. And the only way it couldn't be is if we were all under a dictatorship and we all had to pretend we were thinking one thing at the same time.
Oh, I think
this is the price for, like, you know, living in a pluralistic society where, you know, we're all allowed to be pricks in different ways.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought, and it's, I caught myself at it. You know, I was like walking around and going, bitch hasn't got, it's not wearing a mask. And then I split second said, hang on a minute, you don't know, she may not physically be able to wear a mask and whatever, may have asthma, what I don't really know the reasons. I just have to check myself because it's so easy, you know, once again, point the finger, but there's three back at me, you know. True. I'm being judgmental, I don't know what's going on, I need to shut the fuck up and get on with my business. But yes, that I think, you know, the only way you can be, unless you're really nihilistic, is to think we're going to get through this and some things will be better and there'll be opportunity to, you know, make things different, and that in some circumstances will be great and some things will be harder and we'll have to make sacrifices. And that's...
Yeah, true.
I think that's true after any society goes through any traumatic shock. But it's this weird sort of modern shock of, you know, we know so much more about what's going on everywhere. I think what it must have been like during the last pandemic, you know, Spanish flu, and it was all, everything was very sort of, everything was just local. You didn't really,
you would have just thought it just happened in your area. It was just you.
Yeah, it's,
there wasn't any
it's
sort
a
of
different
yeah.
age. It's a different age, and some of that's great because we can get our voices together and say, no, you racist pricks, that's not on and you can't do that as one voice, and you can get your voice amplified. But on the other hand, it's so stressful because there's constant, everything's clamoring for your attention and for your opinion and for your indignation. And then it's hard to do that every day and get on with making dinner and not feel like you're having a heart attack.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing as well, isn't it? Is trying to get on with life as well. Like you've just said, it's just, I know that because some people, they don't really know, you know, there's no point in all of us just standing up and shouting at each other. That doesn't do anything. But what we can do is like make changes in our little circles and hopefully that spreads out. I've said this a few times. Hopefully that spreads out. And other people around you will do their bit and then they'll do their bit and then it kind of spreads out. But
you can't really
change the whole thing by standing up and shouting at everybody. You just get lost in the noise. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. What I find comforting is a great movies, like Adam McKay movies, when he did this thing about Dick Cheney, this brilliant film. And it just perforated through all the bullshit about the Gulf War. And there are other filmmakers as well. And how, you know, Trump isn't the first corrupt, you know, despicable person / politician. I don't even know what to call him. But he certainly wasn't the first and he probably won't be the last. And yet we can survive. And after a Bush, we can have an Obama. Do you know what I mean? So I think films and, you know, documentaries and familiarize yourself with history so that we're not doomed to repeat it endlessly. And I think it also, it gives you hope that there are people out there who are prepared to give the truth a good treatment so that we can swallow it. It's, and they did the same thing on the 2008 crash. You know, I just love movies. Movies, TV, books. I just think all of that creative output, I just think that is the antidote to the insanity of you know, of politics and news and the current
day.
Yeah,
you're right, yeah.
And also disaster movies. When I'm feeling really sorry for myself, I watch a disaster movie. There are so many good ones. The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, man, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Oh, Armageddon, Deep Impact, Volcano, all of them. Even San Andreas with The Rock. I will happily watch, you know, awful thing, because it's catharsis, and it's like, no matter how bad I think things are for me, at least I'm not, you know, spinning to my death in a Tom Hanks, you know, pilot movie or something. Do you know what I mean? It's you know, we're still alive, you know, we can still, you know, have a cup of tea and talk to a friend and, you know, try and do the next right thing. It's not, it could be worse.
I think there was a feeling of when go on.
Go on.
No, go on.
No, it was going to be a gag, but it wasn't going to be a good one. So carry on. Go on.
Oh, I trod all over it. Sorry, mate.
You did, but it's fine. It's fine.
Sorry. It's all right. There'll be others. There'll be others. Good. Amazon's here again. Amazon's here every 5 minutes.
Of course it is.
What have you bought now, Mrs. Christmas in September? She, do you know what? When they were going, oh, Jeff Bezos is a trillionaire. I went, yeah, of course he is. Of course he is.
Of course he is.
Because most of the stuff's in this fucking flat. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I have to be, I tell you what, when this shit went down, when it was all, we watched the Boris speech and he was all Winston Churchill, when he like, we've got to stay in our homes, we've got to do this, that and the other. Mm. My imagination did run away a little bit because I've seen so many films. I kind of went, are we all going to be ending up? Are we going to be? Is this going to be kind of like all out warfare between us all, like fighting over toilet roll and pasta? And is it going to be just chaos
looting.
Out there?
Well,
that, and,
yeah. Of course, yeah. Because that's the other common denominator of disasters is you always see the looting scenes, and it's just just expect it. Yeah, don't even hope for no looting. Just expect it.
Just go for it.
Just order some more. Protect your home with more stuff from Amazon.
You know, it's like Bill Burr said. He goes, yeah, you can collect all this stuff, but you're just collecting all the stuff for the toughest bloke on the block. So he's going to see all these Amazon vans turning up and going, well, they got a shitload of stuff in that flat. Let's go around there.
Exactly.
And I'm not built for that shit, man. You know, I've got the accent, but I'm not a fighter.
You're a lover.
I'm a lover. I'm a hugger. I'm a hugger, for God's sake.
You're a hugger, not a...
Yeah, see?
We're like, you know, will we ever gig normally again? I don't know.
Well, I've got gigs coming up, and I've heard that the promoter said that, yeah, they can still go ahead. Like, cultural things can still happen on a level, as long as everyone's in their six and in their little pods. And
do they still laugh as much? You know, so. Is it not a bit flat? How do you find
it? People are really up for it. They're really up for something happening. Even like at the last weekend, I did a festival in Henley, and they were all in their cars, or they were in individual gardens. And it was that was an eye opener. And I said this online. I got to gig with Gabrielle, Soul to Soul, Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah. It was mental. The people that I was on with, Stereo MCs. It was a banging weekend. And we were all backstage, and all of these bands, and don't forget, these bands have played festivals and stadiums, and like, they're the biggest stars in the world. They were all wandering around nervous, going, this is going to be shit, man. This is going to be shit. Because everyone was far away from the stage, all sat in cars. No one, so there's no mosh pit. There's no jumping up and down. It was everyone got through it, but it was a real eye-opener to go, fuck, we're all on the same level here, no matter how successful you are.
Yeah, you see, that's what I can't. I don't have the stomach for it, mate. I can't start again. I'm too old and I'm too sick and I'm too tired to start again. And I knew, because I tried to do like this online gig and everyone was fucking muted. So I didn't know whether anything was landing.
Oh, they're brutal. Yeah, they're brutal.
Gigs. I can't do that. I can't. That's carnage for my soul.
Yeah, exactly. Got enough going on. I don't need to fucking cry into my laptop as well, mate.
with a chin cam, with my hairy double chin. No, not doing it, mate. I'm not
Your big old Brian Blessed getting in the way, and there's no laughter.
Enough.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Mate. You have.
Comedy's bad enough when there is laughter. Is it the right kind of laughter? Is it enough laughter? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, with no laughter. I mean, honestly, it's just, you know,
we're so
a patient in need of a therapist.
Yeah. And we do need that. You do need that reaction from people. We did the Clapham Grand the other week. And we were doing it to raise money for venues and stuff. And the first week, there was no audience. There was just the crew that were filming it. And then there was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there was faces. We could see faces on a big screen of people that were watching.
No.
But you couldn't hear them. And so I had to stand there. I remember doing it. I'm doing my set, doing about that sort of 10 minutes. Mm. And I had to do it as if there was laughter. And luckily, yeah. It was fucking horrible.
No.
So you're on a massive stage in a massive venue and you've got to act like you're smashing the fuck out of it.
You just described my next anxiety dream. That's, you know, but I'm presuming you were fully clothed. I mean, no, that's not on that.
Well, no one needs to see me undressed. No. That's not going to get viewers. That's not going to get people watching. Someone said to me, I was just starting OnlyFans. I'm like, what? Of a fully dressed man in a coat and a hat. I'm not doing that.
I think I would go mad. If I had to do that, I think I would start pretending to be the audience and start laughing at myself. I think I would literally become schizophrenic.
Of that. Yeah. You kind of become your own audience. It's a weird feeling. To do that, yeah, and it. But luckily, when I saw it back, it was all right. I'm like, oh, actually, that doesn't look so bad. Yeah, so what the people saw was all right.
That's because you're a seasoned professional, and you've got the timing in your bones, which is great. That you've done for 20 years. Was that an old set?
Oh yeah. It was that. Yeah, it was that. We know how this goes. Here we go. Yeah, not pushing that envelope that far, Richie. Yeah, there was a lot of old stuff. Well, I forgot it all. I forgot everything.
Of course.
Before the lockdown, it just all went. So my first gig back, I just sort of stood there and I went, I don't fucking know what to tell you. And if there are gigs happening indoors again, things are happening. So you will be gigging again.
Yeah, I don't. I'm starting a fresh lot of chemo next week, and I don't know if I'll be allowed to. Reach a fuck it point where I'll just say no, come and lick me, do your worst. What's the worst that could happen? I don't know.
That'd be quite the gig if you stand there doing that.
Come and lick me, you chicken fuckers! If you think you're hard enough.
Who wants this?
Who wants a bit of radioactive chemo, bitch?
Yeah, in you go.
Oh my God. What happens?
You've had loads of chemo.
I've had my tits cut off. I've had my hair disappearing down the sink. I've had a oophorectomy, which is having your lady bits completely removed. I've had radiation. No, I don't mean my vagina. I mean my ovaries.
I was going to say, why would they? Oh. I say, why would they take that off?
Why would they take your vagina, Tracy Cashy? Why? Because it's been used too much, obviously.
Yeah,
no,
because
mine is a hormone cancer, hormone-fed cancer. So they've basically taken away everything that makes me a woman: breasts, hair, beauty, strength, ability, agility. I was like a fine racehorse, Rich. I really was. I had a mane. I could jump things, and now I'm this old husky former. I don't know what I am. My husband says I still look good, but I think he's just trying to make me feel better. But it's
no, but that's the thing. When I met you, I didn't know that was your story because you looked amazing.
No, I had short hair.
I
had short hair. I mean, different chemo does different things. They gave me, because I was young, they gave me the worst chemo you can possibly have for 6 months. And they had to stop after 4 months because it nearly killed me. I had an allergic reaction and I lost my face. I went into anaphylactic shock and everything blew up. And honestly, you wouldn't have recognized me. My best friends didn't recognize me. I had to take loads of steroids to get my face back. Yeah, it's honestly, it's like hitting yourself against a brick wall again and again and hoping the cancer dies before you do. And it's giving me weird drugs to kill my hormones. I mean, it's like I'm in this weird race with my 76-year-old mother because she's got everything wrong with her. She can barely walk. She's constantly whinging. And it's like we're both in this pissing contest. So we, you know, we daren't ask each other how we are because then it becomes like...
a big list.
You know.
Oh,
yeah,
mate.
Two Jewish neurotics trying to out... what's that called?
Trying to out.
Like, yeah, we're just like, don't ask. It's everything's terrible. This is falling. I can't walk. I can't eat. It's it's not pretty. So yeah.
And what is it? What do they do? I don't know what chemo is really. What do they do?
So
do
it's a pump you?
Yeah. Go on.
Chemotherapy. As far as I can never pronounce the things they give me or really remember them, but I know they're so fucking dangerous that when they give them to you, they kind of like, it's all like, it's like nuclear fucking, it's all like in dry ice almost. And it's like, they give it to you wearing, you know, headgear and
big old gloves.
The big old gloves. And there's like, you know, you wouldn't want the stuff they put inside you on your skin. It would,
if you found this stuff, you wouldn't, no one would say, touch it. Don't touch that. Don't go anywhere near that.
It's poisoning. It's a poison. It's poisoning you, but it's hoping to weaken the cancer. And hopefully not kill you at the same time. So in my case, it's just trying to halt the spread or make it less enthusiastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you must feel, you must feel appalling. When they're doing it, you must feel disgusting afterwards.
But not everyone's like me. I got quite a low capacity for these things, whereas some people can just get on with it. My body likes to have side effects, and right. I swear to you, I don't read the side effects anymore. I give them to Chris, my husband, and I say, just look, let me know if anything is something to worry about, because otherwise...
So does he tick them off when you start getting them? You go, oh, yeah, you've got that one. Oh, yeah, you got that one.
Yeah, but there's so many. And then you've got to take drugs for the side effects, and those drugs have side effects. You've got to take something to, like, make you shit. You've got to take something to, like, get you out of the pain zone so you can actually move. You've got to take something to sleep, something to this, something to that. And it all... Basically, I'm like an 80-year-old... in the body of a 40-year-old.
Wow.
That's what they call it, like something so innocent. They call it hormone therapy, but actually what it does, it strips your bone density. It strips everything that turns a young girl into a woman, gets taken from you very, very quickly and very, very harshly. And that's the new body you're given, and you've got to work with it.
Wow. Oh my God. So your mental state as well must be through the floor
been on antidepressants since I was first diagnosed, and that presumably takes an edge off. And also, you know, even though it's difficult having small kids, but it's also really good because you have to just get on with life. If you know, if somebody needs their arse wiped, namely my 4-year-old, then you've got to get on with it. If they meet you in the middle of the night, you've got to get on with it. And also they want to watch stupid stuff, and that's fun. So you can't stay in that zone of poor me, poor me. You've just got to be a mum again. Yeah.
Like I say, this is all new to me, so I don't know. I think I've been scared to ask. I think I was more about, I didn't want to know.
Right, of course. Who wants to know? No one wants to know. I don't want to know.
No.
I don't want to know. And that's why I love escaping into, you know, my kids, or escaping into movies or TV or books.
Yeah.
Because you can't, no one can process that much reality on a daily basis.
No.
If I did, I would go mad.
Of course. I think there really is something to be said for just putting on a film. Because I tend to just lay on the bed, staring at the ceiling, catastrophizing and worrying about not necessarily about me, but just the state of the world. It's kind of like, what the fuck are we going to do? It's all a bit fucked. But then I'll go,
it's
just
always
put a
been
film
fucked.
On, mate.
Yeah.
It's always been fucked. Of course it is.
It's always been fucked. It's always been fucked.
It's always been fucked.
Watch movies, know your history, watch documentaries, read books, and yeah, I think oh God. I'm getting into Matt Haig. Do you know him? He wrote 10 Reasons to Be Alive or something, but he's written a lot of fiction, like The Midnight Library is the latest one, and he wrote How to Stop Time. And I think that's going to be made into a film with Benedict Cumberbatch, or there was talk of it.
Oh, amazing.
But he's brilliant because he knows the dark side of, you know, having a human experience. But he twists it, man, and he's so imaginative, and he makes you think about, you know, perspective and history.
Right.
I love him. I think he's brilliant.
Oh, I'll check him out. Matt Haig. Yeah, I've heard of him.
Matt Haig. Yeah, really good.
I will. That sounds brilliant. But that's it. Mm. People just need that. Like Jade has been, whenever Jade feels down, she just binges on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's watched it a million times. And so that's what people need. If people can find something that gives them that little bit of comfort and takes them out of the shit for a little while, fucking embrace it, man. I was talking to someone last night.
Yeah, go on. No, you go on. Sorry.
I was just saying, I was talking to someone like, there's a girl online, Rachel Wells, who's a listener to the podcast. And we were talking last night about B movies. She's really into B movies, like the old, like Sharknado and stuff like that. There's mad B movies. There's one called Rubber, and it's about a killer tire. This tire that rolls around, it's a serial killing tire.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I love that shit.
That's a fetish. That's not.
It's nothing to do with fetish. It's to do with this killer tire. And I love mad shit like that. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so I love films that make you think.
Yeah. You've got to find your medicine. You've got to find your way through it. Preferably not the hard drugs, but the drug of, you know, great storytelling and losing yourself in a story. I think that's how early man, you know, you're around the fire and you tell about this amazing hunt you've been on. It's a human need. And that's the scary thing about lockdown. It's that, are we going to lose respect for how much we need those stories to keep us strong, you know?
True.
We've got to keep telling stories because they are what make life worth living. And that's, you know, that's how I feel. I don't particularly care about how long I get, but I want what I have to mean something and to be fun, you know?
Yeah. I'm telling you, having met you just that once, and we will meet each other again. I'm telling you.
We
definitely will.
Meet again. Don't know where. But I'll not do a doing gig in it your without garden. Live laughter. I'll tell you that.
No, fuck that.
Fuck that.
We'll do
shit.
A gig in your. We'll do a gig in your garden or roundabout where you live. Yeah.
Come to Finchley.
That's lovely, Finchley. That's been done. We did a gig in Jodie Kamali's garden in Beckenham.
In Beckenham.
So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's doable.
Well,
it's doable,
to six mate. People, if we do it next week.
We'll do it for... oh, shit, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, God.
Don't make any plans, mate. I mean, I know you're making plans and that's great, but I feel like making plans is like pissing in the wind. It really is.
And on that note.
And on that bombshell.
So you've got your next treatment starting next week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you say
poison.
That? Yeah.
Poison. Penciled for Friday.
Oh, mate. Well, I mean, you don't say good luck, do you? I hope it.
You can.
I hope it.
You can say good luck. You can say.
I hope it works out. I hope
it doesn't. How about I hope it doesn't kill you?
I hope. Yeah. Do you know what? I hope it doesn't kill you, mate. Anyway, good luck. Bye.
Perfect.
All right, don't be died. All right, bye. Yeah. You've been amazing, mate. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. It has been a privilege, an honour, and just a mild inconvenience. Thank you.
Produced by Paul Daniels at pauldaniels.tv.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.